we've been singing about here this morning has been life. That is what we get when we stand in Christ. Amen. Speaking of life.
I believe this is what they wanted.
Can you read that? I guess we got to take it off. He took off too soon. He's anxious. What's that say, buddy? Grayson. Grayson, what's your shirt say? He says, I don't know. It feels good. What's your shirt say?
What's it say? Show him.
Wave your hands, buddy.
I'm so cute. Mom and Dad did it again.
Back of it says Big Brother effective August 2018. Oh, praise God. Oh, congratulations, guys. Oh, praise God. God is good, isn't he? You know, we look around and life will prevail. No matter what circumstances you're faced with, life will prevail. This earth has gone through cycles and goes through cycles, and it continues to prevail. You know, in Christ Jesus, we are the victors. So don't ever get caught up in the, oh, why is nothing happening for me? Just keep holding on. Life prevails. Amen. Well, let's bless the tithe and offering this morning. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you and we praise you for this day. And Lord God, we thank you for the ability that you have given us to recreate life in your image. Father, we also thank you for the ability to go out and work and make a living for our families and to produce goodness into this earth. Lord, we present to you today the first fruits, the tithe of our labors. Lord God, I pray that you bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, you may be seated, and Genesis and Super Kids are dismissed. He was just chomping at the bit to get up here. It is warm in here today. Well, we have as you look around, there's a few people out that they're not feeling well, so pray for them. It's up and down. It just takes it out of you. You just got to be ready, willing, and able to fight it. Hallelujah. Well, I learned some interesting things this week. You know, people can talk bad about television all they want. I love it. I love it. And the bigger the TV, the better. A friend of mine has it's got to be around a 96-inch TV. The thing is huge. And the problem is you're only sitting from here to the wall from it. I'm like a kid again, man. I can feel the static. But anyhow, some of the things I like watching are how things are made and the history. I love the History Channel. I love seeing how stuff is made. And this week, one of the things that I watched was actually about whiskey. And that started the whole, it was Modern Marvels and the history of whiskey and all that. But then it went right on over into wine. And it started talking about grafting. And, you know, got me to thinking more and more. And, you know, well, and there's some things I'm not going to talk about today that I learned about that in the winemaking process. But the one thing that really got me was the grafting. Man, I mean, in the vineyards, they have this little device, and it punches. On one side, it punches the hole. The other side, it creates the same template, and they match that stuff up perfectly. I mean, and it's just amazing what they can do with grafting. Now, ultimately, it's not the way that it should be, right? I mean, we graft for different reasons. I read an article where one guy said, you know, a lot of grafting takes place because people don't have the yards to handle all the trees. And this one guy had three different varieties growing on one tree. And it was really interesting because I was like, man, I don't have a whole lot of yard, but I would like some different things. I might try to do some grafting of my own as soon as I can keep a few trees alive. I don't know what it is. My cherry trees do not want to stay alive. They just, and I love cherries right off the tree. But my peaches, I think I got them in a good spot. They're doing well. But it got me to thinking about God's word. You know, Paul was talking to the Romans, and he started talking about how we are grafted. Not him, not Paul. Paul was part of the tree. And I started reading more about it, and you know, and for some reason, this whole time I had it in my head, it was grafted into the vine, because that's the song we sing. And I want to caution you on so much, folks. Be careful on what you're preaching as gospel based on a song. The lion doesn't lay down with the lamb. It's not in there. It's the wolf. The lion lays down with the deer. Okay? But we always talk about lion laying down with the lamb. And that's not the scripture. So is it wrong to say that the lion will lay down with the lamb? No. But that's not the scripture. Okay, there are people, they will be so meticulous on you about that. Well, that's not what it says, so you don't know what you're talking about. And so I got to thinking about that, and then, well, I'm going to go back over the scriptures, and well, you know, it's an olive tree. Interesting. You know, the olive tree gets to represent a lot of stuff. We see the date tree represented in the Bible. We see the olive tree. We see the vines, the grape. We see all that. And it's metaphorically. First and foremost, let's keep that in our heads. It is metaphoric. Okay? It's just an analogy. It's just an example. So many people get caught up in the wrong things, and they lose sight of what was being taught. So, first off, let's go ahead and open our Bibles to Romans chapter 11. I'm going to put my eyeballs on. She's going to bring that up there. We're going to read a semi-lengthy passage of Scripture, but not too crazy. Romans 11, verse 13. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. In other words, he's illuminating what he's here for. Paul went out and probably preached to more Gentiles than Peter, who was told to go preach to the Gentiles. We don't know exactly who all Peter got to preach to, but Paul, we know, went to the Gentiles because he had a revelation without having to have a vision from heaven to go out. I mean, although he did have a serious vision on a road to change his mind about everything. If by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh and save some of them. Those who are Jewish, I'm doing this maybe to provoke them to jealousy that they'll see the truth. For if their being cast away is the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches, but if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will then say, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said, or of course, you're right. Because of unbelief, they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God. On those who fell, severity, but toward you, goodness. If you continue in his goodness, otherwise you will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. Why does he say God is able to graft them in again like that? First off, they weren't, if anybody knows anything about trees, you don't break the branch. You cut it smooth. The tree heals, everything's fine. And when you're going to graft something, you don't break it. You don't use a broken end. It is a specific cut that has to happen. So, but we also know that what happens when you cut the branch off and you throw it on the pile, as has been referenced in the Bible as an analogy, that the branches that weren't producing were cut off and thrown in a pile and burned. In other words, God is able to raise them up from ashes back into a live branch and graft them back into him. Again, all metaphoric. We know physically you cannot take a dead branch after you've burned it, bring it back. You can't mix it with water and make a tree branch again and stick it back in the tree. Naturally, you cannot do it. So this is obviously spiritual. For if you were cut off of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are natural branches be grafted into their own tree? For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. In other words, folks, Paul did not want us as Gentiles, that's all of us. Is there anybody got any Jewish heritage? Okay. We all dogs, okay? We're all Gentiles. The Jews were obviously of the branch that God chose. And I need you to understand something. He said all olive trees are wild by nature. They're all. And my study on the olive tree, for nearly 7,000 years, olive trees have been cultivated. They've been groomed specially to produce good fruit. Because in nature, by wild, an olive tree does not produce good fruit. It's got a lot of seed. If you know, most of us around here, we see apple trees in particular that people just let go, and you know, there might be a million apples on that tree. But they're all about this big around, they're knobby, you can't eat, you get one little tiny bite and you got to throw the thing away. It's worthless. But the only thing that stays consistent with the fruit is the seed that replicates it. So that's why you have lots of little trees. You even see the sucker branches coming up off the bottom. A lot of people let these sucker branches grow and they really should cut them off. As a matter of fact, if you know anything about pruning and you pay attention to your trees, any branch that is at a 90 degree angle, you need to take off. It's a weak branch. It's not strong and will not hold its fruit. It's got to be at an angle. When they grow up like that, they have strength so they can carry the weight. But olive trees are all wild by nature, and they produce very thin meat. You know, we are blessed to be able to go to the store and buy a jar or a can of olives, whether you like them black or green is immaterial. But if you buy those olives, you know, they've got a little bit of meat. Now imagine there being even less meat on the fruit and the pit. I think they call them stones, actually. It's still the same. Your seed is huge and it's not sweet. You can tell fruits on the season because of whether it was dry season, a wet season, or whatever, they will be sweeter depending on how that fruit reacted. But wild olives grow bitter if they do not get the opportunity to have more meat. So they have to be cultivated. They have to be groomed. You have to prune the branches. You have to selectively go through and look and see which branches are going to be weak and take them off so that the whole thing can prosper. So for nearly 7,000 years, man has been doing that. We've been grooming these trees. We've been growing them up. But the problem is, by us doing that and over-babying them, the trunks have a tendency to lose their ability to fight off disease. And so what Paul is actually telling us here is totally contrary to what you actually do to graft in a tree. They do not graft into a cultivated trunk, a cultivated root. A natural grafting, they take a cultivated branch that is producing good fruit because it's the branches. The branch that grows the fruit knows how to grow the fruit. The branch that is part of the root that knows how to support and feed that branch, that's all it knows. If you pay attention to your trees, they'll grow up and the branches will come off. And then there are other branches. But then there's little tiny branches. And in each one of those branches is already pre-programmed into it to grow fruit. It knows how to do it. The big branch can't grow fruit. Did you ever notice you don't have an apple sticking on the side of the trunk, do you? It's usually hanging off of another little branch. And it always amazes me how those branches can hold that weight. mean, they didn't hold my weight when we were climbing in them. We fell through them a few times. But yet, that branch knew how. So they take a cultivated branch that now knows how to grow fat fruit. Okay? It's been groomed and trained to do this. It knows how to grow better fruit. So they take it and actually graft it into a wild root. Like I said, I'm telling you the natural way. Paul's talking a spiritual way, and we'll get there. But in the natural, they graft it into a wild root because the wild roots are stronger against fungus and disease. It occurred naturally. But the problem with wild olives, they only have one thing in mind: reproduction. That's why the seed is bigger than the fruit. It's not about the fruit to the wild olive tree. It is about propagating. They just want to plant. That's why you have the same amount of seeds in a tiny little knobby apple as you do in a great big apple that has a lot of meat. The tree is not concerned about that. It is concerned about making sure there are more of its kind around. That's why it will grow the sucker branches. Even the domesticated trees will grow branches, and you keep them trimmed off. I just think they look better. So the whole point of the wild olive, any wild tree, is just to make sure that there's more. God established that in the very beginning. Every tree that has its fruit or its seed within itself. If you do not take care of the tree, it will not produce good fruit. When we bought our current house, there was one apple. We have since found two apple trees, and I broke half of it the other day. Tree fell on it. Imagine that. I couldn't get it to fall the other way. But it didn't matter. It never produced anything. It couldn't get sun. It was not cared for, and it just could never produce anything and was never going to produce anything because I'm not cutting down the rest of the trees. But this one great big tree that we have in our backyard, I mean, it is big for an apple tree. Most of them are kept cut down to within about 12 feet. This thing, when we first bought the house, was pushing 25 feet to the top. It's huge and got a huge canopy. And we walked around the property and we're looking at this tree, and I grew up with an apple orchard. We had grapes, we had peaches, we even had a nectarine tree or an apricot tree. And so that's what I was used to. If I wanted a cherry, just wait till they start turning red and go out and eat them. Grapes, well, we didn't always wait till they were ripe, so we usually had a bout with diarrhea, and then we'd eat the ripe grapes. And I've always wanted an apple tree. And this tree, when we bought the house, I was like, man, this is a huge tree. We bought it, and there should have been fruit on this tree. We found one apple. One. That was it from this tree. And I told her, I said, you know, after we bought it, I said, I think I need to prune it. So I went in, and I deadwooded it, got all the dead wood, the branches that got diseased, got them off. And cut a few other branches. I took all the suckers off. And, you know, next year, the tree had some fruit on it. It's beautiful when they're blossoming. Dangerous two times of the year. When it's got flowers and when it starts dropping apples and the yellow jackets are on the ground. But I kept pruning. And last year, I pruned even more. I took some bigger branches off that were just hogging up energy from the tree and sending it to 1,000,001 apples now. But last year, after I'd pruned a few more branches off, we actually had decent-sized apples. They went from the size of a golf ball to about the size of a tennis ball. So now they're getting edible. And I've still got pruning to do just to get it brought back in. And so that's what mankind has done to the olive tree. But what God has been talking about through Paul here, trying to explain to them, this was something they kind of understood. As you know, in the Middle East, they eat a lot of olives. The trees grow quite well there, and olives are bountiful. So they had to know how this was done. If they didn't actually raise them themselves, they probably knew somebody who did. And so they were getting hold of the concept of grafting. Now, what God was saying in this particular scripture is, first off, you need to take out the natural concept of the root. This is now spiritual. This is not the natural, because we know in the natural they don't use the cultivated root. They use the cultivated branch with a wild root. That way the tree is stronger. What God took out of us, when we were just heathens, the only thing we knew was to procreate. That was it. We didn't care, and in the natural, we don't care as human beings about bringing any nurturing to anybody else except our own. And then we just boop, 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 boop. We just keep populating. And that's what happens. But what happens when, we'll say, religion? God himself is the root. He's the tree. He's that trunk. We would call it a trunk. They called it a root. But it's the whole main stem. If it's not producing fruit, it is part of the root. It is bringing life to the tree or to the fruit. But when it's a wild tree, again, it just wants to keep feeding the seed so that it can keep propagating. Now, so God has been feeding. He's been cultivating. The fruit has gotten big. It's gotten full of its good flavor. It's meaty. But the problem is when we get like that, religion. We're no longer concerned about the seed. Mankind and all of creation that breathes air, and even those that don't breathe air, I'm talking the plant life, and I do understand photosynthesis and all that. God told them one thing: be fruitful and multiply. Okay? That is the first commandment we all have, is to propagate. Creation has the same thing. That's why before too long you're going to have all these little whirligig helicopters flying around in your yard. And it's going to look like a sheep got raped on my property because the cottonwoods. When the cottonwoods start dropping those huge chunks of their seeds, I mean literally they are huge. I got 11 of those trees growing up the driveway, and they just dropped that stuff. And it just looks like sheep were just sheared right there, and they just left it on the ground. It's really awful, because then it goes floating through the air, the ones that do escape. Then you're walking along, and you snort it up your nose, or you breathe it in, and you're rolling on the ground trying to get it out. But with religion, what's happened is the fruit, it's fruitful, it's sweet. People want to be a part, they want to partake of it, but there's no propagation with religion. See, that's why God brought in the wild olive. The wild olive branch knew to boom, 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 produce a lot. See, after a while, we start focusing more on, oh, you know, big apples. See, I want big apples, but I want a lot of apples. And I've only got so much land, and I can't be, and every time I've planted apple trees, I've lost two so far, and I'm done buying them and letting them die. I don't know why they're dying. I got too many other things to focus on. So God brings in the wild branch. The wild branch knows how to propagate. That's all it's been in its DNA. And what God has done, he says he broke off or cut off the other branches that did not want to produce. Now in the natural, they actually remove all the fruit-bearing branches when they do this. And they take wild branch, they take the cultivated branches and they put them in the trunk. They put more than one on it. You need to understand, this tree is one tree singular. We're not each a tree. We're grafted into this giant tree. And we're required to produce fruit. And here's something I want to share with you. We'd automatically think, well, hey, this wild branch has been brought over and planted in this cultivated tree. Well, just as in the natural that the cultivated branch is brought to the wild tree, one thing does not change. The branch. It is still the branch. It doesn't change its color. It doesn't change its bark. Barks may be a little, they can vary. They've got different species of olive trees. But if you were to take, let's say, You can grow pears on apple trees and vice versa. I forget what this one guy, I think he had nectarines growing on a peach tree. Even though the barks are similar, they aren't the same. So you bring them in, the bark on the branch that's brought in does not change just because you grafted it in. I get to my point. My point being, God didn't bring us in here to make us clones. That's been the common thing, and that's what happens with religion. Religion wants to make us all clones. Grow a beard, don't grow a beard. Wear a suit, don't wear a suit. Wear a robe, don't wear a robe. Pray in tongues, don't pray in tongues. Stand and clap, don't stand and clap. God did not make us clones. God made us individuals for a purpose. I gotta get some water, pardon me. And I know personally that for a while I tried to actually change who I was naturally. God did not save me, did not graft me into the vine, did not call me to the ministry so that I could just become another Brill Cream prophet. It's not what he wants. He wanted me. God wants you. If you want to shave your head, don't. It doesn't matter. You want to get earrings? Get them. I get snagged on too many things to have anything else hanging off. But the point being, folks, God did not come down and say, you know what, I'm going to bring this branch over and I want you now to become part of Judaism. No, God wanted nothing to do with Judaism, but that's what they chose. Do you understand? They chose religion over getting to know God. I believe had the children of Israel went up on the mountain and talked with God, it'd been a different deal. God would have still brought about the redemption of Jesus Christ. Now, we already know that God knew that was going to happen. He had already planned for Jesus Christ to be crucified. Way back. So far back our minds can't comprehend. But it was already determined that that's what was going to happen. But when he also looked forward and he saw us sitting here today, he said, I'm going to make that guy a preacher. I'm going to make these his sons. I'm going to make this his wife. And I'm going to bring these people into his congregation. And they're going to be from all walks of life. They're going to have different thoughts, different mindsets. They're going to have different education levels. They're going to have different likes and dislikes. There's things I like, my wife don't. And I'll be honest with you, one of the things that really drew me to her, and it was part of the reason why I proposed to her that night, was, you know, she's not a metalhead. She really isn't. I mean, she was into Sandy Patty. I mean, the more mellow, and, you know, and I can't do it. You know, I went to bride concerts where the guy came out wearing a big velvet cloak, and it was lined with red velvet inside and a smoke, and you thought you were at a vampire seminar or something. But the guitars are screaming so loud, and I'm like from here to there from the stage. Room was no bigger than this. But if you can imagine, four times the decibels, and I'm sitting in the middle, loving it. That was me. But the problem is, you know, my mom and dad, they wanted me to kind of blend in with people. I wanted to be me, but they wanted me to blend in and stand out. Stand out in the wrong ways, unfortunately. I just wanted to be me. I wanted my hair long. I even wanted an earring back in the day. Marine Corps kind of fixed me on that. But no. God still said, you're an individual. Be an individual. Do what you want to do because it's you. I like the music I like because it's me. She didn't, I mean, and White Cross, you know, for those of you trying to get a they're a Christian group, but they sounded like Rat. Okay, they were actually, that's who they were compared to. For some ungodly reason, Christians think they have to sound like somebody on the other side in order to draw an attention. You know, Josh and them, they just went to the Winterfest last night, and Skillet was there. I remember taking youth group years ago, back in the late 90s, I think like 98, maybe 99, when Skillet was so small, they played in Morrow County. Okay? I got a concussion that night because I was in the mosh pit. last time. But they understand that God made them individuals to reach these other people. God has made you, isn't it? He's grafted you in to bring life to you. See, that's why he said to partake of the fatness or the richness. The life comes from the root. We're to draw life from God, but the fruit we produce is what is us. Now, if you want to know more about fruit, go to Galatians chapter 5. That's where we start talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's of the Holy Spirit. All of your fruit will be filtered now through that. You'll look and say, And by the way, it's all it's love, temperance, patience, loving kind. It's all kinds of those things. It's not saying you can't have a mohawk. My pastor's in North Carolina. Their son, she was Miss Prim and Proper. Her sister was Miss North Carolina. So they wanted to look the part, okay? Her son, when he got out, he was the preppy. When he got out of the house on his own, and I don't know how long he's had this, but he wears a mohawk. And I'm not talking about a little mohawk. There are days I can't reach the top of his mohawk. By the way, he works in the church. So if you can walk in and it's shaved on the sides, it is just skin. He's a punk band walking. And his name's Sterling. So his mom was really thinking Ritzy Rich when she named him. He's a great kid. He really was. This is the only kid to go to the store, buy two bags of those little sugar straws. They got Kool-Aid in them and sugar. And he'd sell them for 50 cents a piece. He'd pay a buck and a half for a bag of 100, go to school, sell them for 50 cents a piece. He was making money hand over fist. He was selling two bags a day. He was always looking for a way to make money, legally. But he's an individual. This is what was inside of him. You understand? The mohawk was always there. Mama just wasn't quite ready to accept it. And I can imagine the first time that she saw him, because I know her. You didn't see her hair out of place than to see her firstborn walk through the door with a mohawk, 18 inches high. But God has created each and every one of us to be who we are, but because of the way we think people have to look like us. I don't want my sons to look like me. If they want to look like, a couple years ago, Jesse got hit in the head with a toy train. His cousin knocked it down, and he got a gash on his head. We butterflied it shut, and I said, but the problem is, I got to cut your hair in order to do this. Jesse loves his hair. Okay? The only person I think that is more in love with their hair is Justin. Joshua never cared. He's like, let's just cut it. But Jesse loves his hair. And I say, we're going to have to do a mohawk, buddy. Some of you might remember when he had the mohawk. He hated it. I think it's sweet. That's awesome. I always wanted a mohawk, but couldn't pull it off. Keeps it up. I'm going to be able to pull it off. Naturally. But he's an individual. I wanted my sons to be who they were, to have their likes, their dislikes. Now, I call them weird if they don't like certain foods. Of course I do. I'm dad. But if they don't want it, it's more for me. And God looked down and he said, I'm going to graft all these Gentiles in. And because they know what their job is. It's to propagate. Do you understand that in the time that it took for Israel, for Abraham and all that, they should have covered the world about God. But what did it take? Grafting in people into the vine who know their job is to spread around the world. And what happened? The gospel of Jesus Christ is now spread around the world. There might be a remote tribe in South America or somewhere deep, deep, deep in the jungles of Africa. Or maybe there might be a tribe on Antarctica, I don't know, that hasn't heard about God. But because he brought in the wild vine that knew what its job was to propagate. Now, it's also our point is to grow better fruit. But what Paul cautioned us about was growing haughty, growing arrogant. And this, you're going to hear me say this more and more lately. This is where God is calling the church to repent of becoming arrogant and forgetting what we're called for. We're not called to fly around the world in jets. And listen, I want you to understand. I understand why it's better to have a jet. I understand all this stuff. I believe God wants all of his people to be prosperous. You can feel free to work for it. That's the Bible. The Bible doesn't say I send out a letter and ask for an offering because I need a new car every other month. And we get them. That's why I'm addressing this. I can't tell you how many we've gotten over the years. People decide they need this and suddenly we get the letters. But yet when I send them a letter asking them to help us with our building project, oh no, you need to take that to God. Well, what if God told me to send you the letter? Well, God didn't tell me to give you money. Well, I guess the feeling's mutual. That's all there is to this. But see, God brought me up. I was getting caught up in a mentality that said, that's success. Listen, folks, I'm telling you, we can pack this church out. I know it's a little thin right now. Trust me, I know. Okay? But I'm going to tell you a little something. First off, with grafting, there's a season you do it. You can't just graft at any time. The season has to be right. There's a season for everything. That's Ecclesiastes. We've gone through some pruning. God is bringing, listen, I want you to look around. You've been grafted in. You're grafted. God brought you in and joined you to us. You're strong. I would rather have a strong tree that is able to reach out and talk to people outside than a bunch of people who only come because I'm preaching a message on how to get rich quick. You can have all the money in the world and go to hell. I'd rather you learn how to survive and be grateful with what you got and Jesus meet you at those gates and say, "Welcome in." But when we're focused on that, we forget what we're here for. The gospel is propagated by us. The Jews had nothing to do with it. Now, he said, until the time of the Jews is fulfilled. Or not the Jews, but the Gentiles. We are in a state now where I believe that our time, we've done our job. We're seeing more Messianic Jews. We're seeing more descendants of Abraham. And I said it that way for a purpose. Because God blessed all the descendants of Abraham. And how many of you know Ishmael was a descendant of Abraham? Now, not every Muslim is a descendant of Abraham. But there is a sect of all those Muslims who are of the lineage of Abraham. And God loves them as much as he loved the descendants of Isaac. Because he said, I will bless your seed. There are reports all over the place now of Muslims reporting that Jesus has come to them in a vision and identified himself and told them they need to repent. God is bringing all those people. There's Jews accepting Jesus Christ. But the problem is they're trying to bring Jesus Christ and bring their Judaism in, and you can't do that because Jesus Christ is grace. Judaism is law. That's why you have to flush it. You have to flush it all. All of it. Because for starters, there's so much of what's going on in the church, in Judaism, that was never part of what God said to do. Not one bit. So, we need to get back to God's grace. That's where we find his kindness. We're grafted in because of God's goodness towards us. That the whole point of that word is kind of a benevolence to somebody who annoys you. So stop and think about that for a minute. We were somebody who annoyed God. But yet his goodness was still in that he sent Paul. He sent Peter. He sent the other disciples to preach. Why? Because Jesus said, I have come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus came as a man on the earth to preach to Israel, to the descendants of Israel. He sent the 12 to preach to the world. And there is what happened. Paul preached to one man. That man went out and he preached to another man. That man went and preached to another man. And they kept sharing about Jesus and God's grace. Didn't come in and said, well, you know what? You know, now that you're saved, you can't wear earrings anymore. Well, now that you're saved, you can't wear flannel anymore. And I know that'll kill you. You see what I'm saying? But that's what we've done. That's religion. Peter was trying it. Do you understand? That's why Paul called Peter on the carpet. He said, well, now that you're saved, you've got to be circumcised. As an 8-day-old baby, that's one thing. As a 40-year-old man, it's an entirely different deal. I remember when I was a young teenager, our pastor got into that at the time. Now, by the way, this guy was a loon anyhow, but and I say loon, he was part of a cult. He was leading people to Canada, and they stopped him. Said, we don't want your type here. They were the kind that God was going to protect them through an atomic blast. I'm like, Paul, if I live, I live. If I die, it's gain, right? That's why I'm not worried about any of it. Fear, as long as fear has hold of you, death has hold of you. If you fear death, you won't go outside anymore. But anyhow, he decided he needed to be circumcised. The guy was already in his 60s. And I remember coming into their house, and he was walking across the floor and just passed out because of the pain. Landed flat on his face. Yeah. You thought he was in pain before. Why? Well, the Bible said. The law said. If you're a baby, that's one thing. Afterwards, unless there's medical problems, don't worry about it. And that's what Paul was trying to get Peter to understand, because he was making people get circumcised. Now, when they graft these vines in, folks, or these branches in, they make sure that everything is tight. It's not just a, whoops, I made the joint too big. We'll just hope to God that it sticks. It's not going to. Not only now is the branch going to die, but you're going to make the root part of that branch sick. So now you're going to have to prune that off, and the rest of it dies with it. But that's not what they do. They are meticulous when they make that joint. Because the first thing that bonds together is the bark. They make sure that seals, that it is tight. They tie it together and they pour wax over it. And they seal it completely up. Today, some of them still do use wax, but they also use a plastic type tape that is designed to help hold it. And they lock this thing into place. And they do not let it produce fruit for a while. They let it grow. They let it bond. They let it strengthen. But you know what the church teaches? And this is why we have such a high turnover rate of converts. You got saved yesterday. Why aren't you producing baby Christians today? She don't know what she is yet. She doesn't have an understanding of it. Why? Because the church doesn't have an understanding of it. We're looking to babies and saying, well, you need to be praying in tongues, casting out devils, healing the sick, going around the world traveling. I know a minister, that's what they did. Paul tells us when we're laying hands on the leaders, not to lay hands suddenly. Prove them out. Try them. Let them grow up, especially if they got saved. But I know one preacher, he's still preaching, that the people did this. He was a hellion, got saved, and I think inside of 2 years, he was traveling the world in a jet, hobnobbing around, going around preaching, laying hands on people, only to totally disgrace God short time later by having an affair with his secretary. And a lot of people are still looking at him, oh, he's such a great man. He should have been allowed to grow up, is what I'm saying. He was anointed. But people saw the anointing, and instead of saying, hey, you know what? Let's hold back. Hold on to him. Let him grow up. This is why I will not, listen to me, I want you to understand this. I understand there's anointing on children. But there was a move not too long ago. They were wanting children to be anointed. There was one young man, he's, I don't know if he's younger than me or older than me, Learden. You know if he was, but he, as a boy, literally as a boy, they were bringing him up preaching. And he was preaching and preaching, and it's all he's ever known is preaching, 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 preaching. He started writing books, actually pointing out men's sin. Called them out, men of God, pointing out all their sin, only to turn around after the second book and fall. Why? Because he wasn't allowed to grow up and prove himself a man. They may have anointed 13-year-old boys as men, but typically they did not get married and considered to be a head of a household until much later. They had to prove themselves as men. And the same thing is true in the church. When somebody gets saved and we suddenly say, hey, you know, I know you got saved 2 weeks ago, but you know what? Bless God, I want you to be an elder in the church. He doesn't understand what an elder in the church is. The church doesn't understand what an elder's role is. So many of the churches are rolling with these elders that rule the church with an iron fist, and that's not their job. Because they're one qualification that 99% of them can't do. Phil and I have talked about this. An elder must first be able to teach. In other words, an elder needs to be able to take my place. I'm the head elder. And an elder needs to be able to take my place and do everything I do. And the majority of elders cannot do that. They look, that's why I don't get too moved about people's situation. Well, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? Because I know more about the situation. That's why I don't get my panties in a wad. Why isn't the president doing this? Why is the president doing that? He knows stuff you don't. The press thinks they know everything, but they don't. And it was even with Obama. Listen, you can point all the fingers. A man needs to unwind, and if he unwinds on a golf course, more power to him. If you happen to own the golf course, that makes it even better. But don't go, well, he's golfing every other weekend. How many of you stressed out to the max, you can't see straight, can make competent decisions on 350 million people's lives? I think I would want to back up and say, oh, you know what? There's days just within my own family. It's like, you know what? I'm going out to the shop for a little bit. I don't actually get anything done, maybe clean, but my mind is off of everything else and I can listen to God. What God has to say something. That's what one thing I like about hunting. You know, if there ain't nothing moving, you and God got a lot of time to converse. A lot of time. Yeah. Unfortunately, I didn't spend enough time with God this year, so I didn't get blessed in that realm. No, but are you following me, folks? We're grafted into the vine of God, not religion. And God wanted us to be individuals. I know I've over the last several months, this is something that seems to be coming up more and more. But I want people to understand that God made you an individual. God did not make me a mini copy of my father. You know why? Because I've also got DNA from my mother. I'm a mix of both of them. I'm not even built like my father. My father has a different build than me. My brothers, they have builds like my dad's brothers. My dad has a build like his mom's brothers. I was laughing one day when I got the, we started looking at all the history, and my dad and one of his other brothers started making fun of the other Woodell boys. Only me and Robert are real Woodells, you know, Harry and all this stuff. And after meeting all the Woodells, you guys are Dawsons. You're the only two with dark hair and your eyebrows grow together. Everybody else goes, and they unfortunately got hit with the male pattern baldness thing too. All the Woodell boys got that. But my dad, and actually it turns out there's three brothers that had dark hair. Everybody else had brown hair, little thin on top. That was the Woodell line, because I've now seen pictures that go beyond my grandfather. My grandfather was light brown hair, bald on top. And I used to think they were so huge until I met my uncle. Of course, granted, I will give you this. He was like 92 when I first got to meet him. He's a great uncle. He was on Iwo Jima. You know, and I, seeing all the pictures, I was expecting, you know, all the Woodells, you know, they were tall. Man, I got a picture with him. He's this tall. I was like, dang, I was messed over on the legs from the word go. My mom's family's short. My dad's family's short. But God made me who he wanted me to be. I think different. I act different. I'm just waiting for the other amen. And God made you the same exact way. He didn't want a copy of your father or of your mother. You may resemble them strongly, but he made you different. You have the DNA that you have. My three boys think different. They act different. That's why God wanted us all. The fruit that he wants out of us is to be individuals, to go out and talk to the world, to reach the world. And in this generation, I'll tell you what's not going to work is the same old mindset of reaching the world. People today, the kids today, if you're eating Tide Pods, something wrong in your medulla oblongata, okay? But listen, my generation did stupid stuff. Maybe not eating Tide Pods, but we did stupid stuff, and so did yours. We all do stupid things, but here's what I'm seeing as the generations have gone beyond me. The generations beyond me, they're sick and tired of hearing people talk. They want to see the fruit. They want to know you mean what you say. Because it's come down time after time after time after time. And there's a point where we have to say, you know what? You're right. I have to change this. This is not going to get me anywhere. I love watching the show Gold Rush. I've said this time and time again, even though I sit back here. You moron, why did you do that? Why not wait 5 minutes and then you don't spend 6 hours repairing a D10 bulldozer? But this one crew is a father and son. And everybody who's ever worked that knows that puts a strain on relationships. The father working with your son, especially when you say, okay, you're in charge, boy, and you hold them in charge, but yet you come and override their decisions. I'll just tell you right now where I stand, I would have walked off years ago. This boy finally said, I've had it, Dad. You keep making me responsible. You make me the scapegoat, but yet you're the one that came in and made the decision. That's not how I wanted to do it. If I'm going to fail, let me fail. Show of hands, man. How many of you wanted that when you were young? If you're going to fail, you're going to fail on your terms, not on somebody else's terms. Because God put that in all of us. My parents, they only threatened me with the military. I'll drop you off at the recruiter's office. You know what? They changed their tune when I came back and said, by the way, I have enlisted. Oh, but we don't want you to go. Oh, too late. It was the best thing for me. I became who I was meant to be. Not living a legend saying, well, you know, I could have been a Marine. You know what Marines say? There are no could have beens. You either are or you weren't. That's all there is to it. Like I said, I know that's arrogant, but you have to be. You go into a fight thinking, oh, you know what? Those Muslims are better than me. I have to go in thinking I'm the best. The Army taught them the same thing. You've got to think you're the best. And that's what makes the Army and the Marine Corps clash heads so much, because we're in the same side. But when it boils down to it, we will fight for each other. At least those that got their heads screwed on straight. And the body of Christ needs to get to this way. We need to understand that the generation we're trying to see, we're just willing to let them go to hell in a handbasket. Instead of saying, why? Why are they sick of this? I'll tell you why, because they're sick and tired of seeing people get on TV, driving Rolls Royces, flying in jets, saying, I need your money. Send me your first month's paycheck. That's just happened. Or God will be against you. Tithe, folks. That's why, have I ever came out and said, you know, you guys need to send more money, get more? I just told you about the boxes because the price went up. But you know what? God provided. But here's what you tithe, I teach you to tithe. I teach you to sow seed. God honors that. If God tells you to give something, you give it. But just because somebody comes up with a great new way to give doesn't make it right. And the generation that's coming up is sick of that. Because we're not stupid. This kind of stuff actually started with my generation, but each generation has gotten progressively more aggressive. They're sick. I'm sick of the Republicans. Why did the government shut down? Because they can't get along. Why is our government shut down? Because neither side can get along. Well, we want this, we want this. How about we keep things going? Better yet, how about we let the senators and congressmen know you don't get paid? You lose your security detail. See how many of them jump on a vote and get something passed at that point. They like their security details. Oh, by the way, all past presidents, you're on your own. We ain't sending Secret Service around with you. Matter of fact, we shouldn't even be paying for you. If you really meant to do good for this country, stop it. Say, hey, no. But we're not going to. But the generation that's coming up, I know some of you think different. I think I just chose to vote for the one who God told me to vote for. Why? He thinks different. Sometimes a lot different than I think. But you know what? Things are happening. We've got something stirred. You've got to stir. And in the body of Christ, we're grafted into God, not religion. Do not go back to religion. I don't want to go back to the world. I don't want to go back. We talked about the chains of fear. I don't want to go back to things that bind me. But neither am I to be intimidated. I know why God made me small. Was so that I could have a huge chip on my shoulder with somebody who's bigger. Because it's the big guys who try to intimidate the little guys. Having been bullied since second grade, I can tell you. But there was something inside of me that said, you're not better than me. I just chose to be quiet. But let me tell you what, some of my bullies, they've killed themselves. They had their own demons. And one of the other bullies, it took me standing up to him to start, hey, I can do this. I ain't gonna lie, I was in a lot of pain. He just walloped me good. But I stood up to him. It's a good thing because he showed up in youth group a couple weeks later. But I now know I can stand up to him, but what God has taught me is I can stand up to him, but I can look beyond. He's just a bully. Yes, they're a bully. And you got to stand up to him, but also to pray for him. Because I later found out his dad was beating him. And I'm not talking about, you know, me and my boys, we hit each other all the time. That's a part. Listen, if you don't think that's natural, go to the zoo and watch the gorillas. I love watching that silverback sitting there and them little ones come up and get him. He just whack, and there they go flying across the yard. That's a father and son, a father and his children. When you get them down and you beat them bloody, that's abuse. And I will gladly take their place for them because I'm not going to lay there and take it. If one of us is going to the hospital, and it ain't going to be me, or at least by myself. I might have a chunk of you. Leg, arm, ear, I don't care. I'm going to have two handfuls of hair. You're going to the hospital with holes. But I need you to understand, God made you who you are. You were brought in from a wild vine. You think the way you think for a reason. Yeah, we need to, I've learned I've got to change things, okay? There are things I've had to backpack. Okay, well, wait a minute. I'm maybe a little too too this way, but I can see their point. See, that's the problem with what we got going on today. There's a middle road and nobody's willing to hit it. We want to hate sin. I might even teach about hate again. We want to love God and hate sin, but the problem is when we hate sin, we can't differentiate the person from the sin, and we hate the person. And that's what's going on today. Without cops, you've got anarchy. Do I know of cops that have abused their power? Pfft, yeah. It's the same thing with guard duty. They used to tell us every day, it doesn't matter if you got an officer or you got a senior enlisted, put them on their face. Because we could do it. Didn't matter who they were, unless they got up and there were stars on their identification card. Then it really mattered. But that's what we were told. That's my post. You're on my post, I'm not going to take your stuff. You lip off to me, and I know guys who MPs that did this. The problem is they overdid it and got in trouble. This is where we're at today, folks. We need to understand we're called to reach out, to propagate, to produce seed. The fruit is what the meat on that seed. And if people don't want to eat it, if it's bitter, if it's nasty, you don't eat it. You need to become a Galatians 5 Christian. Love. Love is the greatest. Love works in all those things. Love, 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 love. I don't discipline my children because I hate them. I discipline because I know I've got to train them. I got to train them to keep their rooms clean. It'll be better for them in the long run. I keep running out of underwear. Well, move your bed. Well, look, there's 15 pairs of underwear under your bed. Keep the dust. I don't know why I got allergies. You got an inch of dust. I ain't got no plates. Wash them. Or go with paper. I know Tony and Joshua's kitchen's still in a disarray. It's like, where's the paper plates? We got the cups. We got the bowls. We did that for a while. Our water kept freezing air for a while. Yeah, let's go to the store, get the paper plates out. Paper cups. But folks, understand of all, you've been grafted. Don't get arrogant. Well, you know what? God loves me so much better than him. No, God loves them and he can. It's what Paul was pointing out. He can resurrect them from the dead and graft them back in. That's all there is to it. Just as with any person you've ever known who has fallen out of it. We call it falling from grace. You really can't fall from God's grace. Really, you can't. You can be cut off from the tree until you realize and come to your senses and say, hey, I need to go back to the tree. But we got to quit shoving religion down people's throats, and as soon as they get saved, saying, well, why aren't you producing fruit? You know, they don't receive, I'll end with this, the first 7 years on a grapevine, they do not take any of the fruit. As a matter of fact, when it starts budding, they clip it off, so that the vines can grow strong. I got a whole lot more stuff on that. Boy, I was watching that, and I'm like, man, I'm learning a lot about the Bible. Watching on how to make wine. Go figure. Modern marvels can teach me how to preach. It takes a marvel like that to teach me how to preach. All right, let's stand. As you're out and about, I want you to remember to extend grace to people, patience, kindness, control yourself, and love them. When they mess up, listen, I don't care if they messed up, you gave them grace, and they flipped you the bird. Yeah, that stinks. But go on. Just leave it at God bless you. Pray for them, not about them. If you need to pray about them, it means you haven't forgiven them. You're not working in grace any longer. And it hurts. But like I said, I'm telling you, I've got some more stuff. I'll probably do it next week now that I'm chomping at the bit to share it. But know this. You were brought in to produce fruit that is good and to produce a seed with that fruit. Okay? That's why God brought you in. He didn't bring you in and say, well, I just need people. Listen, the tree will grow branches by itself. That's what they do. Everything, God made this earth self-sustaining. We reproduce. It is a miracle in and of itself. And I realize sometimes there are physical things and it takes God. But the truth of the matter is, it is a scientific measure, natural measure that God produced. The sperm comes in contact with the egg, fertilizes the egg, boom, it's done. The life is from God. It's an automatic thing now. The wind blows. We now understand why the wind blows. We understand why the sun comes. We understand we're not the center of the universe. If you still think you are, boy, do I have a model to show you. But God loves all of us the same. He loves the Jews. He'll bring them back in. Like I said last week, watch Israel. Watch the Jewish people. You're going to start seeing people converting. But they're not going to convert to Protestantism. They're going to convert to Christianity. I partially consider myself a Protestant because I'm still protesting religion. Do I have certain ways I do things? Yes. But if you've ever been into a more religious type church, you will understand I do not know the doxology. I thought it was a song by Petra that was all keyboards. What's the one? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. What is that? It's sung in churches. It was a long time ago. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning. Some of you are even going, it's a hymn. Okay, well, I didn't know that was a hymn. I thought it was a punk rock song from a group called Undercover. They had mohawks. It was cool. That's the way I would have sung it. But there's things that I do find solemn times. Times we do things, times we don't do things. But I'm constantly checking, why are we doing this? Is this of any benefit anymore? Nope, that doesn't benefit us anymore. It's not doing anything, it's just a waste. We're done. We change gears. We did away with Wednesday nights a few years ago. One person went around blabbing their mouth, that's causing nobody coming to church, huh? No, it's because, one, my life was opening up and I couldn't hardly get here, and I'm the preacher. And most people were in the same boat. They had so much stuff going on that we were barely able to get here. And then I found out, I started studying as to why church was on Wednesday night. And it's like, you know what? The people that are here have to be here. We're the ones that have to function it. It's not because we don't want to hear the word of God or come together. But most people just do it out of religion. Not because they want to be there. I'm at church every time the doors open. Well, if I open the doors every week, are you really going to be here? Because I'll tell you right now, all the people that said that they'd be here, they're the first ones off. You understand? They're the first ones that drop off. It's everybody else that came to support who are stuck here now because of one person. Doesn't benefit. Because we were going to meets, and you know what? By us making relationships with the parents, the coaches, you know, we're not buds with everybody, but the little bit that we can speak into their lives matters a lot. Justin plays basketball. Last year, they started asking me to pray before every game. So I'd go down and pray. The assistant coach, he'd just kind of stand off to the side. Wouldn't take his hat off. This year, the assistant coach takes his hat off and he kneels. I haven't one time preached at him. But he's going to find God. His whole family's going to find God. I mean, crying out loud, you named your son Elijah. It's more than a cool name. You just didn't know what the days of Elijah meant. It's repentance. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are truly grateful, Lord God, for your word. We thank you, Father, that you grafted us in out of a wild and into you, not into something that couldn't stand its own, but into you, Lord God, not religion, but you, with a relationship with you. Father, may we produce that sweet, thick fruit that is craved. Father, with good seed that can keep moving on. Lord, I thank you and I praise you that you're working on each one of us, Father, that your mercy is so good that it's for each individual, not just a covering, but each individual has mercy in their lives. As we grow, as we move on, Father, I thank you that you're helping us to mature into those fruit-bearing branches. Lord God, I thank you for each and every person here today. Lord God, we also pray for those who are unable to be here due to an illness. Father, I pray that you touch them, heal them today in Jesus' name. Amen.